Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
I think good morning is in order, and the best news I can give you here in Hawaii is that we're going to have some rain, yes, but the winds are coming back. It's going to be hot still, in the 90s, feeling a little bit hotter than that. Winds are easterly, around 15 miles an hour. What I'm really looking forward to is those northeasterlies that are forecast to come in sometime tonight and tomorrow, cooling us off, hopefully, because it's been some very hot weather with that hurricane going by and bringing in that high surf that we've had. Gone now, of course. So partly to mostly cloudy, windward mocha showers today. And if you'd like to go out and play a round of golf, we've got some great guests on the show, though. I'd love you to hear Joe Pack, Turtle Bay Golf, the home of the Turtle Bay Open, presented by Travis Matthews. Golf Channel's Chantel McCabe, she's going to be on. Mark Rolfing will join us. Michael Patrick Shields will join us. And Ron Syrak will join us. But you know what? We've got to tell you about these tee times that are open. If you'd like to get out and play, do bring your sunscreen with you. Even with the rain, it'll get through. Volcano has an 842, Makalei an 836, Poipu an 840. Kapolei has an 836. Royal Hawaiian Country Club has an 836. Makaha East an 845. Wailea's Gold Course, 842. And Maui Nui, a 916. So we're going to get to Joe Pack, Turtle Bay Golf, after we thank the people who make this show possible.
Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Sponsored by Creative Plumbing and Futura Stone and Rainer Doors. Creative Plumbing, whether a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, or a townhouse, call Creative Plumbing. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, your warehouse, into artwork. That's Futura Stone, only the best. And Rainer Doors, speaking of the best, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, providing lasting security and safety for your home, your business. It's Rainer Doors. All right, let's get straight to Joe Pack, the head professional at Turtle Bay Golf. Welcome into the clubhouse, Joe.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. This is the 16th annual Turtle Bay Open presented by Travis Matthews. This is great because not only do you have an A flight, you have a women's B flight, and you have a senior, and an A flight, B flight, and C flight for men, and of course the championship flight. Now, I understand there's an overall winner, there's the championship winner, there's all the flight winners. How do you determine the overall winner?
Well, actually, in the past, we used to be called the Turtle Bay Amateur, and now it's called the Turtle Bay Open. We tried to add a professional component in there. So we had an overall winner with the professionals and the top amateurs. This year, we went back to just an amateur event, so we don't have an overall winner of the event. It's just winner of each individual flight.
Got it. Okay, because I was looking at the 2017 results with Brent Grant, three-time winner since 2014. Is he playing?
He's not. Brent, fantastic player, great individual. He was an amateur and won the event as an amateur, turned professional, and then won the event as a professional.
Got it.
We miss having the professionals out there, but this event is fantastic for amateurs from all different skill levels. A lot of times these are people that are very competitive in golf as far as the amateur status, but there's also, this is a great opportunity. If you've never played in tournament golf before, here's your chance.
Yeah, like in a women's B flight, last year, Margaret Pearl, she came up on top of the leaderboard, and the women's A flight, it was Kyung Young Lee at top of the leaderboard. In the senior flight, Philip Anamisu, is he still, I can't remember if he's gone back to amateur status. Did he ever play professionally?
You know, I'm not sure about Philip, but you know, he's a great guy, and I hope he gets out there and plays again this year. It is nice having the women's A and B flight. You know, we got some fantastic gals here in the island that are very competitive. Margaret's from the Hawakalei Country Club, and they have a big contingency that joins our Turtle Bay Amateur/Open every year. But yeah, it's nice having them out. They really enjoy the event, and they get some fantastic tee gifts as well.
They get, this is the part that's really cool. This is, it's $300 to enter, is it still?
It is, yeah. So $300, what it is, we partnered with Travis Matthew this year. We're going to give each participant a $250 valued tea gift. And we're doing this great pop-up shop right there at Turtle Bay on our Fazio Course driving range. Local Travis Matthews representative Ian Parrish is going to be out there to be showing all of the Travis Matthews apparel. What each participant is going to be able to do is they're going to select whatever they like, and they're going to put together a custom order, and then Travis Matthews is going to drop ship that directly to their home. So we're looking forward. We've been doing really well with Travis Matthews. It's a very popular brand. It's a very good brand, well-made, and very stylish. So we're really excited to be working with those guys. I think all the participants are going to be really excited with their key gift.
Again, and that's what I love. I mean, it's a $300 entry fee, but you get $250 in clothing from Travis Matthew.
Yeah, and that $300, it's there's going to be great prizes that go along with that. If we have the right amount of participation, we might be doing one night stays at the hotels. We got two championship rounds of golf, one on the George Fazio course, one on the Palmer course. We dial this up, at Turtle Bay. We've had Champions Tour events, LPGA events, and Big Break, and we treat this Turtle Bay Open just like one of those professional LPGA or senior PGA events.
I used to love going out to Turtle Bay to cover the LPGA and PGA Champions Tour event that was held out at Turtle Bay. Always very well run. You guys did a great job every time. And Big Break, of course, hugely popular on Golf Channel. So I understand that there's still... You can still register? You can still go play?
Yes, registration is still open. I know sometimes it's difficult to schedule around October for people, so I got registration open all the way till about October 18th. You can sign up online. You can go to turtlebaygolf.com or turtlebayresort.com and click on the golf tab. The scrolling marquee of the Turtle Bay Open will be right there in front. Just do a couple clicks, get to the registration page. Put all your information in. I do need a gin handicap and index, and then you're off and running. We'll be looking forward to seeing you on the course.
That's excellent. And the gin is based on September 15th still?
It is, yeah. Your gin's based on September 15th. So, where people are with their handicap is the one I'm taking.
Excellent. Women's flight, the B flight, is 10 to 21 handicap.
Yeah,
women's A flight is 0 to 9.9. So this is great. A lot of women would love to play competitively. The ladies who play in the Jenny K, this is a great opportunity for you. You're all amateurs, and you should really get out there. Mid-Pacific Country Club ladies division, I think, would really enjoy this. Now, tell us how this is played, because you play at both courses, the Arnold Palmer and the George Fazio.
Correct, yeah. So Saturday the 20th, we're going to be teeing off the Fazio course. We will be going off in flights, and we're going to do a 7 a.m. double tee start. So we treat this just like a regular professional event where you're going to have a specific tee time. We're going to be going off number 1 and number 10. We're going to go through all the flights that way. And then the following day, the 21st, we're going to be teeing off on the Palmer course. Following that same format, we will send the pairings out by flight, but we'll do the reverse order with the leaders teeing off at the end.
Aha. Uh-huh. So there you go. That's when everything comes into play as how you did the earlier day, the day before. Then you get to be rewarded, so to speak. Is it better to play in the morning or the afternoon?
Well, you were talking about getting us the trade winds back here. It's been pretty muggy. Sometimes it's pretty hit or miss. It's very placid and serene sometimes at Turtle Bay at 7 o'clock in the morning, or sometimes the wind's already up. Being right there at Cuckoo Point, we get some big winds coming through there, and that's the biggest defense of the golf courses out there. I prefer early morning golf. When I'm playing tournament golf, I don't really like to wait around that first day. I like to get out there, but obviously the second day I like to play towards the end, because that means you did pretty well the first day.
A nice reward. Those are two really different courses, too. I mean, the George Fazio course is a little tucked in, on the inside of the, it's kind of a little peninsula, isn't it, Turtle Bay? And the Palmer course is more on the ocean, and there are a lot more bunkers on the Fazio course.
They're about the same amount of bunkers.
Really?
Palmer has a couple more, but both courses are in great shape right now. Greens on the Fazio course are rolling really smooth. Mike Conner, Shane Meikle, and Brian Conecto, our assistant superintendents and superintendents, have been doing a good job getting the course back in fantastic shape after aeration on the Palmer course. The Fazio course is one of those courses where you can try to overpower it and sometimes get rewarded, but also really rewards good quality shots, like middle of the fairway, middle of the green, make a putt. The Palmer course, as everybody knows who's played out there, it's very fair, but it's also very, very challenging at times. You got to hit all different shots in your bag, and it's a good test of golf. We're going to be playing from the different tees for different flights. The Champions flight is going to be playing the blue tees out there on the Palmer course, and the A flight and B flight will be playing the blue, gold tees, and ladies are playing red. So the gold tees are it's a good challenge out there on the Palmer course. The blue tees are definitely a big challenge out there. We're hoping for good weather. We're hoping for some, I like a little bit of wind. You know, when you get out there on the Palmer course and there's no wind, you kind of scratch your head and, okay, something's wrong here. We're used to wind out here.
You're right.
That hole number three on the Palmer course, it's a three-club wind. So if you're 150 yards away and you decide you're going to hit a five iron, it's probably the right club. So it's fun to get out there and talk to competitors about competitive golf. You know, I love watching tournament golf. I love, championship golf, kind of like what we did with the Ryder Cup just recently.
That was a nice transition for me, too, because as a head professional at Turtle Bay, Joe Pack, you were watching, observing how our team was playing, how Team Europe was playing. What were your thoughts?
Well, I'm gonna pretend that I'm on the team, so I'm gonna say I wish the boys did a little bit better. But I'm a fan of golf, and I've been following some of the European guys quite a bit as well. Tommy Fleetwood's rise to being able to take his game for the European Tour over here to the PGA Tour is, I mean, he's good. Francisco Molinari. At the end of the day, championship Ryder Club Cup golf, I mean, there is a home field advantage. I know there's a lot of controversy about pairings, this and that. Golf's challenging. That kind of golf's really challenging. The atmosphere is challenging. I think some of the shots that the U.S. guys did early on were good. We kind of did okay the first day and got waxed the second day. A couple people's putters were a little quiet. I mean, our guy out at Turtle Bay was Tony Finau. He played in the big break, and he's been a friend of the course for years, and his putter was hot. He bounced one off he got a couple good breaks, but he bounced one off a water hazard, wooden post onto the green. So I didn't get to watch a lot because of the timing, but, it was enjoyable to watch Tiger. I agreed with Captain Felix's decisions. Sometimes you just, golf's challenging. At the end of the day, I know a lot of the controversy was set your ego at the door, but Captain Bjorn and Captain Furyk, I think they did a pretty good job. It was fun to watch good golf. That was good golf, but at the end of the day, our guys need to do a little bit better.
Yes, absolutely. And the setup of the course, we talked about this on the show a lot. I mean, it's their home course advantage to set up the course. They made the fairways narrow. They made the rough very rough. And they played it well. They did good. And it was interesting. Phil Mickelson at the Safeway Open just said they made it unplayable. It was unplayable rough, or nearly. I think he said nearly unplayable rough. And I thought, well, wait a second. The other guys did a really good job in that unplayable, nearly unplayable rough. A real pleasure talking with you. Joe Pack is head professional, Turtle Bay Golf, home of the Turtle Bay, presented by Travis Matthews. Are you still calling it an open? I didn't want to say that.
Yes, we are still calling it an open. That's what we kind of went with at the beginning of the year. So next year it'll switch back to the Turtle Bay Amateur, but for this year we're going to call it the Turtle Bay Open.
And it's the 16th annual Turtle Bay Open presented by Travis Matthew, Saturday, October 20th from 7 a.m. And that goes through Sunday. 36-hole stroke play played on the Palmer and Fazio courses. Enter. $300 is your entry fee, and the tee gift is valued at $250, and you get to choose what you want from Travis Matthew. Joe Pack, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much. It's great to have me. It's great talking to you. I love your show.
Thank you.
See you guys on the course.
Thank you so much. Aloha. We're going to come back and talk with Chantel McCabe. She is a beautiful woman who is now on Golf Channel since 2016, and has a real sharp mind. She's on Golf Central and Morning Drive, and she does the on-course interviews as well at many of the PGA Tour events. We'll be back with Chantel McCabe right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurastone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurastone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
Are you dreaming about a golf vacation to Ireland? Do you want to play some of the best golf courses in the world? Well, now is your chance. Danielle and the team at the Golf Club Radio Show have teamed up with Fairways and Fundays, Ireland's best golf tour operator, to offer you a chance to visit Ireland in 2019. Play some of the world's best golf courses. Enjoy spectacular scenery and exhilarating evening entertainment. And, of course, sample the odd pint of Guinness. This is a perfect tour for golfers and non-golfers alike. Contact Danielle and her team at the Golf Club Radio Show for more information. We look forward to seeing you in the Emerald Isle in 2019.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the Golf Club.
I'll actually get the specialists to find out, talk with, so that we can find out exactly which club you should choose. And for more information about the Golf Club's Ireland exclusive listeners tour, go to our website. It's radiogolfclub.com. The banner's right in the middle of the screen. Golf, castles, dining. Check it out. Check out the pictures of where we're going to be going and some of the schedule. I think you'll have a lot of fun. And it's a very, very reasonably priced tour. Now, let's go. Chantel McCabe, Golf Channel anchor and reporter for Golf Central, on-site reporter for PGA Tour and LPGA Tour events. She also worked for NCAA Golf and World Long Drive events, and she does specialty events and assignments throughout the year. We're going to get to that, one of those specialty events that happened the night before? days kind of blend together after a while. Welcome into the clubhouse, Chantel.
Thanks for having me on. Happy Saturday, everybody.
And you have been in the world of sports. Tell us how you got into golf. What was your transition?
It was so random. I was a weekend hack golfer with my dad, who still is really learning the ropes, and I give him a hard time because he obviously is all decked out in Golf Channel gear. But when we play together at these nicer courses than we used to play, we'll still pull out a driver on a short par three. I'm like, Dad, you can either wear the Golf Channel logo and like learn how to play the game better, or you can't wear the hat.
That's so cute, though.
That was my introduction to the game. Back in college, I started playing, so I was probably like 17 or excuse me, 18, 19, I believe. So,
right.
It was one of these random things. I was actually covering politics in the Patriots, 2015, and all of a sudden I got a call from Golf Channel. I specifically remember my agent calling me when I was on my way back from the Kentucky Derby, and I'm thinking to myself, I mean, this isn't really like I mean, I watched Morning Drive. I loved LT. I was an LT super fan.
Oh, Lauren Thompson is wonderful. I love her. She's been on the show.
I know. She's awesome. But I was thinking to myself, like, I don't really know if I would, number one, enjoy it. Number two, would be able to pick it up because it's such an intricate sport and so different, as we all know, from any team sport. So I was a little hesitant, but I was like, oh, screw it. I've got nothing to lose. So I went down and my agent has several other clients at Golf Channel. So that's how he had heard about an opening. And yeah, I went down and was totally fearless. And I set down my boxes. And I mean, I guess there's something to be said that when you're comfortable with, you know, not pressing too much, really can see it high and let it fly, because I just let it fly and I didn't care too much about the interview itself. So it was kind of funny that how it all came together. But
that's golf, isn't it? I mean, when you go in, right, like Phil Mickelson said, you know, I didn't expect to make the weekend, and here I am at the top of the leaderboard. You did a fabulous job this week on Golf Central.
Thank you.
With everything going on in the world with the Ryder Cup and all the controversy following the Ryder Cup, you just picked it up and really handled it well. You have a great presence on television, and congratulations on picking up the golf stuff, you know, so quickly, the terminology, understanding the whole thing.
I'm really fortunate that we have a patient audience, because I wasn't sure how people would react to me because I was such a hockey labeled gal. So I'm happy to be welcomed by people that didn't necessarily have to.
What do you find the most challenging? Is it, for me, it would be like taking a microphone and putting it in front of the face of a player, a golfer, just coming off the course. But what is it for you?
I get so amped up about interviewing players after a round, because at the end of the day, you don't have to get caught up on like the numbers or anything, and you really don't have the opportunity to, because you can't. There's guys that are finishing one after another, so you'll never have the opportunity to see every guy's round or ask most of the time about a specific shot, because it's just the flow of the work pace, especially on a Thursday, Friday, when the morning wave, the afternoon wave, it's like go, 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 go. It's like rinse, repeat. So It's one of those things where I basically know what stories I want to relate to with the audience and what is the most pertinent. I mean, unless if something crazy happened, we really don't need to talk post-round about a specific shot, unless they made an insane par save.
Right.
From, you know, two
a hole in one.
Yeah. Something like that is when you get into the specifics. But, like, I'm not asking guys, like, well, were you between clubs? And, you know, what loft did you decide to go with on that little chip in? And those are kind of, like, really technical stuff. I mean, I know it, but I don't need to whip it out. And it's one of those things where if you tell the story, that's what the interview's about. You don't need, if you get wrapped up in all of
the
really nitty gritty details.
Yes.
People don't really at home don't really want to hear that. If they do, they're going to go read a blog about like, oh, what's in this guy's bag. So it's put me in a good place knowing that I'm the storyteller and I'm there to get them to talk about what did this round mean to you? Like if, you know, you finally shot a 64 after, not being able to go lower than 68 for 25 consecutive rounds, and you finally made, you know, grinded a little bit deeper. What is the key to that? It's the questions that show the personality and tell this story that way. That is pretty easy. So that's come pretty natural, but that's across all sports. For me, it was mostly the challenging thing was just kind of learning the cadence of stuff. Like every course you go to, there's so much logistics involved and there's not really anybody to guide you. So where do I pick up my stupid cart to start? things like that.
Where am I supposed to go so that I can do my work? Would somebody please direct me and the right, you know, everybody's so busy and everything is going on around you. Let me ask you this. As a new person to the game, fairly new, what was your feeling about the Patrick Reed statements and what Phil Mickelson said about his experience, about their experiences at Ryder Cup?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those things where I probably should bite my tongue, but after covering it, and the reason why we come on these shows is to kind of react based on the facts that we do have. It's so silly because, number one, we're interviewing guys, as I just said, we're trying to tell the story. He was clearly frustrated. He might not have handled it in the most traditional way. But at the end of the day, he did what he did. And I'm just not entirely convinced that the team room was ever in a good place. I don't know when he found out that he was playing or not playing with Tiger and not playing with Spieth. But at the end of the day, it's his way he reacted to it is signature Patrick Reed. And as journalists, I don't think it's fair that we sit here and say one thing that, oh, we want to, you know, we want these players to give reaction to stuff, and these, we always get these candid answers when they give, you know, as candid as can be, and then everybody's jumping down his throat.
Yes.
Saying, well, you broke the code. And it's, from my perspective, it's like, then why do we bother asking these questions? Because, like, of course, from the team side, it's, they're not happy with him, but media, I don't think, should be quite as critical as they have been.
It has been. I think it wasn't, you know, we expected them to win. We expected them to at least perform better and maybe be more gracious in losing. I was stunned when Phil Mickelson just decided to call it and you know, just walk away after his ball went in on 16 into the pond. And yeah. I'm like, seriously, you're calling that on your own? This is Ryder Cup. Don't you have to confer with somebody?
It would have been a little more agonizing, I think, to keep it going. So he, I guess, was trying to be ahead of the game instead of behind it.
Yes.
But it is such a great event, and I love that the passion is pouring out and these storylines are coming because, as I said, we sit here and we're critical of this, that, and the other because they're so stiff and we don't get to see, like, the genuine stuff. And now we get to see it, and people are like, oh, well, you know, I didn't mean like that. Like, I mean, he was being genuine. He was enraged. He was disappointed. He felt confused whether or not that's warranted or not. These are the things we don't often get to see in golf. And me personally, I don't like that he's painted as somebody who is the villain. Of course, he's not the warm, fuzzy guy. Of course, he doesn't have the demeanor of Jordan Spieth. But to say, you know, that this is going to tarnish him forever, I think, especially after the Masters, the way he was treated. And I'm not, you know, a super fan for Patrick Reed. I disagree with, you know, or I would do things differently. But I think that especially leading up to what happened with the Masters and after his win and how he was treated, I mean, this is still a human. Like, there are other guys who have, like, shaky paths. And when they win a major, we don't sit there after and review all of the bad things that happened. We give them the due diligence and totally explore the good thing that they did in that moment instead of hashing back all this old stuff. So I will die on that hill alone.
I totally understand. I need to talk to you about something that happened, though, those 2 days ago on Thursday night. Golf Kitchen had its fabulous evening at Edgewood Country Club. Outstanding Culinary Innovator of the Year was awarded. Golf Kitchen Culinary Excellence Awards for private country clubs or resort. And one of Hawaii's country clubs, Kohana Iki, was given Executive Chef Patrick Heyman. He couldn't attend, but I know that his trophy's on the way. And the Golf Kitchen Visionary Leaders were also given their awards. And it was must have been wonderful. You were the MC. Did you have a great time?
Yeah, it was obviously really cool to be a part of something that is happening for the first time. And the newness of it, I mean, people were really amped to be a part of really not just growing that part of the industry, which is such a great blend of fine dining and recognizing the people who bring these amazing dishes to life who often get overlooked. But also, I mean, part of the golf experience when you go to resorts, when you go or when you're a member deciding between where to have membership, all of those things are kind of considered in the food. It's part of it. I mean, think about some of the courses that you played, and like when you're telling people about it, it's not an afterthought. It's still very much part of the description is, oh my God, and the food is amazing there.
Exactly. Oh, you need it.
So it's,
yes.
Yeah. So it's really cool that Diana really was a pioneer for that, and to be able to meet these chefs and talk to them quite lengthy. I know some people were like, oh my God, wrap it up, but we couldn't make the food come out any faster. And gosh, I didn't get to try every dish, but the dessert was just, I mean, it was a pear, cinnamon nutmeg fusion. It was like delightful, nice and light, got every fall flavor you could, all grabbed right into that dish. There was a pasta dish with a little bit of meat in it. And oh my gosh, it was, I'm not really a pasta gal, but it was just, the flavor was unbelievable. And so, yeah, it's cool to be able to recognize the unsung heroes that, I mean, who doesn't love food? That's how I started the whole shebang. I said, we're all here because, first and foremost, we love food.
And they're great guys, the chefs. I just want to acknowledge Edgewood Country Club for the Outstanding Culinary Innovator. Golf Kitchen's Culinary Excellence Awards went to Arnold Palmer's Bay Hill Club and Lodge, Executive Chef Robert Lee, Cacique at Kiowa, Executive Chef Doug Blair, Kohana Iki, Executive Chef Patrick Heyman, Punta Mita, Executive Chef Pato Persico, and Sabonic, Executive Chef Anthony Giacopinello, and the Golf Kitchen Visionary Leaders, Troy Albert of Savonic, Colin Burns of Winged Foot, and Jay DiPietro of Boca West. Fabulous
evening.
Pretty good
company, huh?
Oh, yeah. Really good food.
My gosh, you rattled off those names flawlessly. I was like, oh my goodness. There was a couple names in there. I'm like, okay, I'm going to say it a little bit quicker than normal, so I sound like I know what I'm doing.
Chantel McCabe, Golf Channel anchor and reporter for Golf Central, on-site reporter for PGA Tour and LPGA Tour events. I know you did a great job because everyone told me you were excellent at Golf Kitchen Edgewood. Thank you so much for being on the show. It's great meeting you.
Yes, you as well. Thanks for having me on.
Thank
Happy
you.
Saturday, everybody.
All right, yes. See ya. We're going to come back and talk with Mark Rolfing right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
We know you aren't looking for a new garage door right now. Even though you haven't changed it in many years, even though the new styles you've seen look clean and strong, even though your current garage door is creaking and groaning, even though your garage door is the first impression that visitors have of your home, you just aren't ready. Or are you? Rainer Hawaii will make it simple to beautify your home. Call Rainer now at 676-3667. That's Rainer at 676-3667.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futuristone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futuristone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futuristone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futuristone, only the best. As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing.
Your experts on call.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Mark Rolfing is golf tower announcer for NBC and Golf Channel. commentator, analyst, and you see him on Golf Central on Morning Drive, and he's on Live From. And we saw a lot of Mark Rolfing on Live From Ryder Cup. He's just back from Paris, and we got to talk about Paris. We got to talk about Ryder Cup, but we also have to talk about Top Golf in Waikiki. So welcome into the clubhouse, Mark.
Well, good morning, Danielle, and everybody in Hawaii. It is so nice to be back. That was my last tournament of the season, so I got a little time to enjoy the islands, as I say.
A little fishing?
A little bit of fishing and a lot of golf. Not so much playing, but I'll be back and forth to Oahu quite a bit as we start gearing up to get ready to get going for Top Golf.
Excellent. Now, what's happening with Top Golf coming to Waikiki?
Well, basically, the negotiation is almost done. You know, it's a pretty complicated agreement because the state owns the land, the city operates it, and so it's a lease agreement that once the RFP was awarded takes some time, and we're hoping that's going to be done in the next couple of months. And once that is complete, then we begin the series of actual community meetings where we get together. We're doing that on a smaller basis right now, attending a lot of the community board meetings from the areas, talking to residents and things like that. But what you're really going to see is a ramping up of getting sort of the final community input, and that's going to be occurring over the winter months here.
Excellent. So, you know, I was thinking of progress in getting planning and permitting in place, but that's like that. First, you've got to get the agreements all set up, city and county, state, and Top Golf. That all gets done. The listening tour with the community, and then we start talking about the structure and the building.
Yeah, and what we're going to do during the during some of these listening tours is actually show people what it's going to be like, because when people hear nets, you know, or hitting bays with music and things like that, they have impressions of what it's going to be like, and sometimes those are overblown in terms of what the impact is going to be on the area. So we're going to actually be able to let people get a feel for what the noise is going to be like. It's really not going to be any worse than what's at the Alawai Range now, and certainly the lights are going to be less obtrusive than they are now, because all of the lighting is stayed on the interior of the Top Golf facility, and the rest of it is up lighting. So the nets are pretty much, they're like 95% transparent, and I think everybody's going to be really impressed when they actually see some of the examples of what the product's going to be like.
That's wonderful, because you're also building it. Top Golf always takes into consideration the culture and the customs of the place they're putting in a Top Golf. So it has kind of a Hawaiian feel to it, at least the pictures that I've seen.
It really does, Danielle. It's not going to be like any Top Golf that has ever been built. This one is going to be totally unique to Hawaii. You're going to see it in everything from the building itself to the cuisine. When you see the menus and some of the things they're talking about, obviously there'll be local chefs hired. The people that are working there are going to be all from Hawaii for the most part. And so it's going to have a very local feel to it, because the number one customer that Top Golf Hawaii is aiming at are the people that live here. And I think what everybody's going to be really impressed with is just what kind of a feel it has for the environment. It's going to blend in like it was always there.
Yeah, and the other cool thing, when you talk about hiring and having a local staff, the PGA of America and Top Golf have an agreement. And so you'll have probably PGAs who are hired to be instructors there?
Yeah, you will. It's going to be very much a facility that gears not only to the non-golfer. A big percentage of Top Golf's customers have never played golf, but we think there'll be a much higher percentage of people who do play golf in Hawaii that utilize the facility, because there is such a density of the population in that area, in the Alawai area, that it's going to be a great place, particularly for younger folks to go and practice, high school teams, junior golfers, things like that, because the practice facilities in and around that area are pretty limited. So this is going to open up a whole new possibility for the local golfers down there.
That's wonderful. So we're really looking forward to hearing more from you over the winter months. And, of course, I'm looking forward to having you on the show during the Sony Open and, of course, the Kapalua, the Century Tournament of Champions that are coming up.
Yes. Yeah, we are really excited about Century. I can tell you a guy that is super excited, and that's Rory McIlroy. It's the first time he is going to play out here. He has been telling me, you know, for a number of years now that one of these years he would come. It's difficult for the European players, as you and I have talked about, because of the Middle East tournaments right after. But Rory decided that this was the year, and bringing his fairly new wife, Erica, with him. And one of the main reasons and attractions is really to come and enjoy Hawaii. It's not a place that he spent a lot of time. And he's really looking forward to it. And by the way, given the way he drives the golf ball, I got to think the Plantation course is going to be right up his alley.
Yeah, he's going to like it. He's going to like it a lot. Let's go to Ryder Cup. You're just back from France. Tell us, what was it like being in France? Let's start there.
Well, it was a different kind of Ryder Cup, Danielle. As you know, when you play a Ryder Cup on foreign soil, the European side gets to dictate the setup for the golf course. So whereas Hazeltine 2 years ago in America was a wide open course and our big hitters could just blast away, we got to Paris a couple of weeks ago and it looked like the U.S. Open on steroids. The rough was maybe as difficult as any rough I've ever seen. And I knew the minute I saw it, the American team was going to be in trouble. And the other problem is they just hadn't played any competitive golf on that course. If you look at Tommy Fleetwood and Francesco Molinari, for example, the best European team, those two players alone had played in 20 French Open tournaments, which is probably 70 or 80 rounds. They had a victory and three runner-ups. We had only one player that had ever played in the French Open. So there was a huge advantage for Europe, and because of that, it really put a damper from the beginning in my mind on the American chances. I had Europe as the favorites by the second day I was there.
Yeah, and the one spark on our team, Justin Thomas, is the guy who played Le Golf National. So he knew.
Not a coincidence.
Exactly. I couldn't help but look at our team, and I thought, this is Ryder Cup. It was Thursday and Friday, and I'm thinking, okay, we came out so strong in the very beginning. We were 3-1. But then after that afternoon, everything just seemed to come undone. What was the difference between that morning and the afternoon?
The difference was the pairings. We lost, as the American side, we lost 8 consecutive points between the afternoon and the next morning. It was a Ryder Cup record for losing that many consecutive points. And the problem was, even though it looked pretty good in the morning, we had boxed ourselves in on the pairing. So, for example, you had to send Phil Mickelson out Friday afternoon. He was playing terrible in the practice rounds. And you sent him out in a format that he's not good at, which is alternate shot. That was a huge mistake. Once we started fiddling with our pairings, we were in trouble, even though we got ahead. I really thought it all started with Spieth and Reed. I do not believe that team should have been broken up. I don't care whether Jordan Spieth didn't want to play with Patrick Reed or not. Once the Americans made the statement that the best Ryder Cup team we've ever had, and Spieth and Reed have been the best record for the U.S. team ever in the Ryder Cup, to say we're not going to play them together in the morning match on Friday just sent a signal that was a bad signal. And then you couple that with breaking up Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka, who have been a highly successful combination. What that then caused was this domino of pairings for Friday afternoon and Saturday morning that just did not work at all.
Do you think it was Jim Furyk who made these decisions, or was there too much decision-making amongst the team?
It sounds like it was a combination of decision-making where they got away from the plan. I don't really know. I don't think Mickelson and DeChambeau, for example, had ever planned on playing together. Bryson was going to go with Tiger.
Yeah.
The pairings were pretty set the week before, Danielle. You had Thomas and Fowler. You had Simpson, Webb Simpson, and Bubba Watson. You had Spieth and Reed. You had Johnson and Koepka. The only question was going to be Tony Finau, who was the 12th pick, and we totally believed he was going to go with Phil Mickelson and play in the four balls, which I think they would have been a fine team. If you're going to send Phil out, then send him out in best ball and let him play with somebody like Tony. But you got yourself in a box after they started splitting the pairings up, and it sounds to me like there were too many little private meetings going on making those decisions.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's like when the captain has to make a decision, the players have to go with it and just play their best. I didn't feel like it was like they walked in with this chip or this weight on their shoulders, like, I really don't want to do this, or I don't really want to be here. And I couldn't understand it at all. It floored me, especially watching the Europeans having so much fun after, you know, being down at the first. They just came back on, and there was just something. I could tell they were playing Ryder Cup. I couldn't tell that the U.S. team was playing Ryder Cup. Our team looked miserable. Tiger Woods looked, I don't know where Tiger was. I mean, you looked in his eyes and was like, there's nobody home. Your thoughts on Tiger?
Well, there were two things. First of all, Tiger was tired. He had just won his first tournament in 5 years. You know, it had to be early in the week an emotional draining time for Tiger. He needed a little break. But the last thing that Tiger Woods needed was to get paired with Patrick Reed, who made it pretty clear that Tiger was his second choice.
That's
weird. How can you make it clear that you want the greatest player perhaps of all time as your second choice? You would have rather played with Jordan Spieth, but Jordan didn't want to play with you. So the dynamic got thrown off. There was no sort of energy in that team at all. I was out there with them on Saturday morning when they played together. Patrick Reed played absolutely horrible on Saturday morning. I think he would have shot 80 minimum, you know, maybe higher.
Wow.
And there just was not any synergy at all. I don't think Tiger should have played with Patrick.
No, and I think somebody said to me, you know, Patrick Reed wasn't able to be himself. He couldn't do all his, you know, his Captain America stuff because he was with his idol. How do you play up, you know, all of these things and shush the crowd when you're with a guy that you really want to impress?
I totally agree. He tried to force it a couple times out there. I watched it pretty closely. But Tiger is not that rah-rah kind of guy. If you look back at Spieth and Reed at Hazeltine, Spieth egged him on. You know, when Reed holed the shot from the fairway, you know, Spieth was jumping up and down like a, you know, a little jumping bean or something.
Yes.
And Tiger is just not that kind of guy. That's what Spieth absolutely needed it. And when he didn't have that kind of partner, he started trying to force it, and the crowd totally turned on him, and he wasn't playing good enough to be able to back it up.
Exactly. And that's really hard. And from there, everybody just gets... when they took Dustin Johnson away from Brooks Koepka, he also seemed to lose his game. But I got to ask you about Phil Mickelson. Phil Mickelson, were you shocked when he unilaterally conceded the hole on 16?
I mean, by then, you know, it was so chaotic out there, and you didn't really know what was going on, but Phil really didn't have a chance from the beginning. He said he didn't, and now this week he is saying, you know, he just shouldn't play those kind of courses, and you know, he plays golf where you can hit it all over the place like he's doing it Safeway.
Right.
Phil probably didn't play that different in France as he does anywhere else. It just didn't work on that kind of a course. But what I don't like is Phil now saying, you know, I probably shouldn't play those kind of courses. Well, then you probably should have not been a captain's pick if that's what you're going to say. If I don't have a chance on that kind of a course, why would you have then agreed to be a captain's pick?
I couldn't agree with you. When he said it was a waste of his time to play this nearly unplayable rough, you know, that he's never going to do that again. Well, he probably knew that it was going to be tough when he went in. But how was Jim Furyk supposed to not pick him when he was so close to the points? And he is who he is. He's Phil Mickelson.
Well, exactly. You know, Furyk had to pick him. But here's the thing. That golf course was set up to be played a certain way, and the American players are just not used to that. They are not disciplined players. In America, you can drive the ball all over the golf course and still shoot low scores. It doesn't matter what tournament it is. And somebody needed to get a hold of these players and just say, watch what the Europeans are doing. They're hitting these little irons and getting them in play and shooting low scores. And by the way, I'll tell you who did that the best for the Americans was Tony Finau. I watched him play, and he played a very disciplined, conservative kind of game, and that's all that really needed to be done for the Americans, and they just couldn't do it. That's not the way they play.
And Tony Finau is a long hitter. He can go up against the long guys, and he controlled himself, and he won the U.S. 2 points. And he conformed to the course. He made it work for him. That's awesome. Thank you so much, Mark Rolfing. Tower announcer, golf analyst, golf commentator, my friend, and cancer survivor. And thank you, MD Anderson. I really appreciate all you've done for Mark Rolfing. And any final thoughts I didn't let you talk about that you wanted?
I can't wait to talk to you over the next couple of months about golf in Hawaii, because I'll tell you, no matter where I go, whether it's Ryder Cups or places like Paris, France, there's nothing like coming home. So let's talk more.
You just tell me when, and you're on the show. Thank you, Mark Rolfing. Aloha.
All right. Aloha, Daniel.
We're going to come back, and we're going to go to Harbortown, because that golf course that was blown away by Matthew is open again. And a person who's on with us next, Michael Patrick Shields, he got to play. And there was an odd spectator on the course that I would have probably said, you know, I'll not play this hole. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Are you dreaming about a golf vacation to Ireland? Do you want to play some of the best golf courses in the world? Well, now is your chance. Danielle and the team at the Golf Club Radio Show have teamed up with Fairways and Fundays, Ireland's best golf tour operator, to offer you a chance to visit Ireland in 2019. Play some of the world's best golf courses. Enjoy spectacular scenery and exhilarating evening entertainment. And, of course, sample the odd pint of Guinness. This is a perfect tour for golfers and non-golfers alike. Contact Danielle and her team at the Golf Club Radio Show for more information. We look forward to seeing you in the Emerald Isle in 2019.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high rise, retail store or home, you need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf is easier with coaching from PGA Master Teaching Professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game. Scratch golfer or just beginner, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Claude is at Maui School of Golf at the Kahili Course on Maui. You'll get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claude@mauischoolofgolf.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one.
Now back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
I want you to go to radiogolfclub.com. On the front page, in the middle of the page, right on the right side, there is the banner, the Ireland Exclusive Listeners Tour. Go to the website, check it out, look at the photos on the screen, and check it out. Just check it out. Let us know. Send us some comments. What do you think about our exclusive listeners tour? One other note before we bring in Michael Patrick Shields. Volunteers are needed for the 2019 Sony Open, and they need amateur caddies for the 2019 Sony Open. Caddies for amateur participants are needed January 6th and Monday the 7th and Wednesday the 9th. Previous caddy experience is preferred but not required. You have to be at least 14 and be able to carry 50 pounds, and you have to have your parents' permission and a school consent to be able to do this because it's during school time. And caddies get a free shirt, meals, beverages, and $100 inclusive for each golf bag they carry. Go to SonyOpenInHawaii.com, volunteers. Sounds like fun. Michael Patrick Shields, travel writer for TravelTattler.com, host of Michigan's Big Show, and collaborator and author with Ben Wright, Arthur Hills, Larry King, and Donald Trump, is with us in the clubhouse. He's just back from a place that experienced one of those hurricanes that we always dread coming through and usually go and attack the Big Island. He's with us now, Harbortown, home of the PGA Tour's RBC Heritage Open again. Welcome into the clubhouse, Michael Patrick.
Does that caddy deal include airfare by any chance?
Wouldn't that be cool?
You get a shirt and meals, but if it gives you air, I'm in.
Here comes Michael Patrick. He's going to carry your bag. He would make you so relaxed. Maybe you should consider just flying him so he could be your caddy. It'd be a very interesting day. Good idea. So when did you go to Harbortown?
I was there during the week, in fact, and it's funny because this morning I was watching the Dunhill Championship from the old course at St. Andrews and King's Barnes in Scotland on the Euro Tour, and I was thinking about how people aspire and dream to play places that they see big-time events, whether it's an Open Championship or a PGA Tour event, and Harbortown is one of those places that you recognize without even having to hear the name of it because of that red and white striped lighthouse on the Calabogie Sound there, and it's the week after the Masters. And so it's one of those places where you can do that. It's open and available to the public on Hilton Head Island in South Carolina.
Now, when you were there, you were standing there with a flag. That's the tee flag?
I was standing on the 18th green with the Harbortown flag and the lighthouse in the background and the Calabogie Sound to my right, your left, if you're watching on television that event. And it's very popular not only with resort people who go to the Sea Pines Resort and play golf there and do all the other things that they have to do at the beach and biking and everything else, but it's popular with the tour players because it comes the week after the Masters every year. It's really only about a two-hour drive from Augusta, and it is a place where you can let your hair down and relax. And once you're inside the gates, it's a gated community, just like Palmetto Dunes is next door. You don't even need a car because they've got something like 2,000 bicycles for rent every week, and people just sort of, it's a very shady place, and shady in a good way. I mean, there's lots of those big oak trees.
Yes, not that kind of shady. Yeah. It's shady.
Oh, yeah, with that Spanish moss and all those beautiful. It's just a really cool place to relax. And those trees are all intact. I know you mentioned the hurricane a minute ago, but they were lucky. They were to the very south end of that hurricane situation, so they really never even experienced more than a day's closing. They're back up and running full speed.
Absolutely great. Now, you played Harbortown Golf Links, but you also played a course that I don't know, Palmetto Links?
Palmetto Dunes is right next door. It's very similar to Sea Pines on Hilton Head Island there. And these are all gated communities, resort communities, and they have thousands of lodging options from hotels to homes to villas. So if you come with your family and you want to be in a home for a week and experience the beach and go around on bikes, you can do that. They have the Robert Trent Jones course, Arthur Hills course, and a George Fazio course at Palmetto Dunes. And they're very similar resorts in that they both have beach access and beach clubs and good dining and fun things to do. And it's all right there on Hilton Head Island. I also popped over a place called Oyster Reef, which was super cool, and you may not have heard of it because, let's face it, everybody knows about Harbortown, but you learn about the other courses when you go. And they're all open all year round, and they're all, you know, relatively affordable, too. And I thought that, you know, I don't know about you, but you play a course, and then you say, gosh, I could play that every single day. that to me is the measure of a really good, fun course. And Oyster Reef was definitely one of those.
Oyster Reef. That it sounds like a fun course. It sounds like someplace I'd like to go back to. I want to bring up the spectator on the course that you were playing. Yes, just a second here. We are KPUA Hilo, K-O-R-L-Y-N-I, K-O-N-I, Lanai City, K-T-O-H, Kalaheo. So which course were you playing when the spectator was standing around? How did he get on that course? I'm talking about a crocodile? Is it a crocodile or an alligator?
When you say which course on Hilton Head were you playing when you saw an alligator? The answer is all of them, because there are alligators everywhere. And, in fact, sadly, you know, more people were talking about a recent alligator attack than they were the hurricane, because a few weeks earlier at Sea Pines Country Club, right down the street from Harbortown, they had an alligator attack a woman who was walking a dog.
Oh.
And she was new to town, I'm told, relatively new to town, and the alligator didn't want anything to do with her. The alligator was interested in the dog, but her leash was tied around her wrist. And so the alligator basically drowned her. It didn't really attack her. But so, you know, they do ask you to stay away from those things, but you'll see them, no question, on the water hazards. And we even saw a little, like, one-foot baby alligator in the grass next to one of the ponds, and that was over at Palmetto Dunes.
I suppose those little baby alligators probably have a little bite, too, don't they?
Well, mama can't be far, can she, if there's a baby. But the... Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think about mama. I thought they were, after they were sprung, they were on their own. They have mamas, too, following them around?
And I've interviewed fish and wildlife people about alligators, because Florida has them too, and other places. But they're fast. They're fast as an Olympic sprinter for the first 30 yards. It's true.
Oh, gosh.
And you know, the experts will tell you to run sideways in a zigzag fashion. If you can do that, you know, while you're running and, you know, and losing your lunch. But if you can remember to do that, they can't really chase you back and forth. It's not that they attack you. It's just, but it is striking to see a big alligator laying by the side of the pond. And, of course, the picture that you saw with the golf ball and the alligator's
mouth. Yes, I wanted to ask you how you did that.
Well, that was a homeowner, and they had a statue of an alligator in their yard with a golf ball in the mouth. And so it's part of the culture there, that's all. And they obviously had some whimsy about it.
Some whimsy.
Yeah, it looked real, though, didn't it?
Yes, it did. In that photo, yes, it looked very real. And I'm thinking to myself, how did this happen? Did that alligator really pick it up? That's too strange. But I now have to ask you about, what is a real salty dog bar?
Well, you've probably seen, it's kind of become this famous T-shirt logo. It says Salty Dog, and there's a big beer mug on it, and it's sort of become its own brand, kind of like Vineyard Vines and some of the other popular logos. And there actually is a Salty Dog bar. I didn't realize that, and it is in the Sea Pines Resort. It's right on the marsh there, and it's a really popular open air place. And as soon as you get there, of course, you'll see the Salty Dog souvenir shop with all the apparel and logos. So for anyone who's ever seen that logo somewhere, there is an actual Salty Dog.
There's a real place,
yeah.
And it's not shady.
No, it's in the sun. Doug Weaver's there too, by the way. If you remember, he played the PGA Tour. He's the director of instruction at Palmetto Dunes, and he played a number of years, a couple of U.S. Opens, and a number of years on tour. So if you get a lesson from him, you also get stories about what it's like to be in long drive contests against John Daly and play the tour with Lee Trevino and some of those other guys. And he's an awful lot of fun and a southern gentleman that you can come across there. That's at Palmetto Dunes.
That sounds like fun. Harbortown,
yeah.
Golf Links, Palmetto Dunes, Oyster Reef. I like, you know, of all these places you've mentioned, I'm drawn to Oyster Reef. It sounds like a kind of a getaway place.
It really is, and it's that is a Reese Jones golf course. It's very playable, and part of it's on the water, and they had, I think it was at the sixth hole, they had an oyster bar set up for you as you make your way through the front nine, just in case you get a little hungry. And
nice.
I thought that was kind of a unique thing to have on a golf course, on a resort course like that.
Yes, I need you to go to Kohanaiki. They have, like, a place for you to stop every six holes, and you can have all kinds of stuff. It's incredible how much stuff you can eat. at every six holes. Yeah. Where did you stay?
I stayed in a villa right on the Robert Trent Jones course at Palmetto Dunes. It was walking distance to the ocean, but they have various hotel properties there, too. And I tell you, one of the other things, since you mentioned eating, if you're going to go to what they call low country, which is what that is around there, and it's about an hour from Savannah Airport, and Hilton Head has a small airport, too. But you're going to get shrimp and grits, and you're going to get some of that great low country seafood and that southern hospitality. And that's really sort of a cool thing about it as well, in addition to, of course, the golf and the biking and kayaking and all the rest of it.
Did you?
And there's also, it's like a, they have the Harbortown Golf Club. Clubhouse is only a few years old. It is very tasteful, very elegant. They have a museum to Pete Dye because he designed that Harbortown Links, and it really was one of his first most famous courses, and he did it in consultation with Jack Nicklaus. And they have beautiful paintings of every player who's ever won the Heritage Classic lining the walls. It's very stately. And then they have that plaid blazer that you, for good or bad, win when you win the tournament.
The green blazer is better to, yes, I get it.
Yeah, the next week is that Scotch plaid blazer, but they have that on mannequin. So you get a real sense of the PGA Tour event, even when it isn't tournament week.
That's great. This is Harbortown, home of the PGA Tour's RBC Heritage, and that's April 18th to the 21st. So, now, final question. Did you really ride a bike, Michael Patrick Shields?
Why not? When in Rome, I ate shrimp and grits for every meal, too. I mean, I'm a big believer. You go somewhere, you know, you try to get as much of the local activity and cuisine as humanly possible.
Absolutely. And when he was in Spain, he ran with the bulls. I absolutely.
That's right.
I love you, Michael Patrick Shields. Thank you for being on the show. Where do you go next?
I am going to Chicago for a travel conference next week, and it looks like Sicily for Christmas.
Sicily for Christmas. Wow.
Sure.
Is there even a golf course in Sicily?
I don't care.
Well, I want to talk with you about Sicily. Michael Patrick Shields, he writes for TravelTattler.com. That's where you can find all of his reviews. He's award-winning host of Michigan's Big Show, Michigan Association of Broadcasters, Best Network Radio Personality. Thank you for being on the show, Michael Patrick.
Mahalo and aloha.
Aloha. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk, yes, the UL International Crown. This is in Seoul, Korea, where they're dealing with yet another large storm. Japan was hit by two within a week. It's incredible what kind of hurricanes. But that's the UL International Crown. We'll be talking with Ron Syrak right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf is easier with coaching from PGA Master Teaching Professional Claude Rousseau. Claude will simplify your game. Scratch golfer or just beginner, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Claude is at Maui School of Golf at the Kahili Course on Maui. You'll get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claude@mauischoolofgolf.com. That's Claude Rousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futurastone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futurastone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futurastone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futurastone. Only the best.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Just a note, if you heard about our exclusive listeners tour to Ireland, please go to our website, radiogolfclub.com. The banner is on the right, and just click on the banner, and you'll see where we're going, you'll see the itinerary, you'll see some of the places we're going to be eating. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. It's in September of 2019, and that's 6 days over in Ireland playing golf. And if you have somebody who doesn't play golf and you want to play golf every day and they don't want to play golf any day, that's fine, because what Fairways and Fun Days will do, they will organize for the person who doesn't want to play golf and take them wherever they want to go within the area we're playing, and then we'll go play. Or I won't play that day and I'll go with them. We'll just have a lot of fun. That's the whole idea. Golf for Maui Charities. Okay, I've got something. This is the 8th year at Century Tournament of Champions. This is one of my favorite parts of Century Tournament of Champions, the Golf for Maui Charities. Golf for Maui Charities generates revenue for local charities on Maui. Organizations, what you do is you sign up, right? It doesn't cost you anything. There's no sign-up fees. There's no cost, no risk at all. You get tickets, you sell the tickets, and then you keep the money. It's really pretty simple, isn't it? So as you're selling tickets for the Century Tournament of Champions, you're helping with the, of course, people going, more people know about it, and you get to keep the money generated from the ticket sales. That's Golf for Maui Charities. Okay, so that's what you need to do. You need to get in touch with Century Tournament of Champions and get in touch with it. And you can do that by calling 808-665-9160. That's for everybody on Maui. Kone, good morning. Okay, and finally, I think we've got the Fall Invitational Golf Tournament on Sunday, November 25th at the Hickam Par 3 Golf Course. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's going to have a putting and chipping competition for youth 7 through 17, $10 only per child. But the tournament is two-person team scramble, no handicap. Field is limited to 18 teams. The tee-off is at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The cost is $50 per player. Fall Invitational Golf Tournament, raising money for Aloha State junior golfers. All right. Now, let's kind of vicariously go to Seoul. Not really Seoul, but let's just go to Incheon in Korea. And let's go and find out what's happening. Now, I think everything's on hold, but I know Ron Syrak, golf writer and author, Golf Channel contributor, special to LPGA, Vision 54 trilogy. You know about Vision 54. Play your best golf now, the game before the game, and every shot must have a purpose. Published in 8 languages, covered over 160 majors, Ron Syrak has. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ron.
Danielle, thank you for having me on, as always.
The UL International Crown, interesting with the weather that we've had, 2 major tropical cyclones hitting Japan, typhoons, as they're called there, another one coming so close to Incheon that they had to suspend play. But it's been fun. The UL International Crown, tell me if I've got this right, because a lot of people who are listening don't necessarily play the game, don't follow it very closely. 4 players per team playing for their country. The countries are chosen by the individuals' players' performances on the LPGA Tour. So if a lot of people who are from Korea or from Thailand or the USA, players who are very high on the rankings, those countries are then in the International Crown?
Yeah, exactly. They go by the Rolex World Rankings, and they go and they see the countries that have the 8 best combined world rankings. And you know what it means is for the number 1 seeds is Korea, number 2 seeds United States, and you know both teams had players who if they were playing for other countries would have qualified, but particularly Korea. But that's exactly, you have it exactly right. 8 teams, 32 players based on the world rankings.
And the format is 3 days of 4 ball matches. That is 2 players as a team play against another 2 from a different country, of course. So this is how the competition is. And each are playing their own golf ball. So Do they have any restrictions? Do you have to play the same kind of golf ball, or has that all been done away with?
Well, no. They're playing four ball, so you just play your own golf ball that
Excellent.
Way. So mm-hmm. And the way it is, they have two groups, Group A and Group B, based on their seeds. And so the number one seed in one group is Korea, the number one seed in the other group is the United States. The top two teams in each group advance to the finals, and then the fifth team advances to the finals. And then what you have is each of your four players have a singles match on Sunday. If it ended right now, and they have the third session, they still have a third session to play. They want to get that started at 7 a.m. local time in Korea. I believe that's 1 p.m. your time in Hawaii.
In Hawaii, yes.
Yes. And if it ended right now, in the one group, it would be England and Korea would advance. In the other group, the United States and Sweden would advance. And then you'd have Japan, Australia, and Thailand playing off for the fifth spot. That's three countries would be playing off for one spot.
Wow. Wow, and it's great to see. I mean, what I saw, the leaderboard, so to speak, when the United States was playing against, it was we and Korda playing against Hataoka and Uehara, they were down, I don't know, and then all of a sudden, after in three or four holes, the U.S. was back on top, one up through 12, where they had to suspend play because of the weather conditions.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly momentum changes in match play. You know, match play is really, really pure golf where you're not playing an 18-hole match. You're playing 18 one-hole matches going out against each other. And Michelle, you know, her first session, she was showing the rust of not having played for so long. And then she's gotten better. She's gotten better with each round going on.
That's great. She's got a wonderful attitude, and they seem to be a really great pairing. Also, interesting to see, a lot of people were saying, keep an eye on England. Keep an eye on the UK or the England team. And indeed, they have 7 points over the first seed, Korea, 6 points.
Yeah, England has a very good young team. Georgia Hall won the Ricoh Women's British Open this year. Charlie Hall is somebody that we've been expecting a whole lot from. She's probably underperformed a little bit, but they're both like 22 years old. Bronte Law is another young player, and Jody Urwin-Shadoff. There's a lot of depth there and a lot of reason for England, which has been on a little bit of a downslide in terms of women's golf. There's a lot of reason for them to be optimistic going forward. A lot of young talent there.
There is. And it's great to see because everybody says, well, the home of golf. How come they don't have great teams? And now in the last 5 or 7 years, not only have the women come on strong, the men on the European tour. I'm Justin Rose, just one of the names that pops into my mind. He's been around for a while, of course, but they're just so much stronger.
The other name that pops into my mind is Tommy Fleetwood,
yes.
Who I think at one point he's going to contend to be number one player in the world. He's a really, really good player and hits the ball a mile, and he's not a very big guy. And, of course, he brings a little flair to golf with his shoulder-length hair I don't know if you saw the video that the European Ryder Cup posted on Twitter of the day after they won. He and Molinari paired to win four matches, and so they have a video. And if you got to find this, it's hilarious. It's about three minutes long. It's the morning. Yep, the morning after. they're laying in bed with the Ryder Cup between them. It's pretty funny.
It's charming, and that's exactly why, you know, the European Tour always puts out these great, funny clips of the guys just doing funny things, and that's a bonding for them.
It's one of the things I think that they do better than the Americans in the Ryder Cup is they embrace the intensity of the week. They view it as sort of a week-long fraternity party, you know, and the Americans sort of view it as root canals, you know, like, you know, they're like, it's like they're going to the dentist. Yeah. And the Brits really get it. And I look back on it and I think, you know, one reason is because of World Cup soccer and some other things, they're more used to team events. We sort of get it in the Olympics once every 4 years. But they really rally around team events, and they embrace the insanity of it really, really well. And And they got some guys, that some personalities like Fleetwood, like Sergio Garcia, like Ian Poulter. I mean, Sergio Garcia and Ian Poulter were born to play in the Ryder Cup. They're just, their DNA is just wired to be that kind of player. They love the intensity.
And who in the United States, on the, see, we see that kind of camaraderie on the LPGA during Solheim Cup. We see yep. that kind of bonding, that kind of team on the Solheim Cup. And I don't see that on the men's side. Who is our spark on the Solheim
well,
Cup?
I think going forward, the most the team to be most optimistic about is Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth. They're very, very good. They like each other, and they fit well together. You know, until the day after the Ryder Cup, you'd have to, you know, Patrick Reed was Captain America. You know, he was the guy who sparked a lot of intensity in his first two Ryder Cups, and then came out on Monday and took the low road and complained about his pairings. And that didn't, you know, I have a feeling he's going to be eating lunch by himself in the player dining for a little while.
In Hawaii, we have this saying, you know, don't point finger, because when you point finger, there's three fingers pointing back at you. You're just as much of a person responsible for whatever's happening in your life. So pointing fingers and calling somebody out, why don't you call yourself out? And that's the bottom line. When he was talking to other people about, you know, this and that and what, and I didn't like this and I didn't want to play with him and he was my second choice. What is that? I don't understand that.
Right. And I know there was at least one session when he was paired with Tiger Woods when Patrick was just dreadful. You know, he just let Tiger out there all by himself on a bunch of holes. He wanted to play. He and Spieth had been a good pairing in past Ryder Cups and President's Cup. And he sort of thought that's what was going to be what happened. Now there's just a multitude of conflicting stories about some people are saying, oh no, Patrick was begging to play with Tiger,
and that's what I heard.
And Reed's wife on Twitter blamed Spieth's girlfriend or something. You know, I mean, that was like the amount of finger pointing that was going on was just completely totally absurd.
Yeah, it was a real shame. Phil Mickelson has decided that he's not going to play the rough anymore.
He should have decided that about 26 years ago. he's been playing out of the rough his entire career.
No, it's a waste of his time to do that now, and he's only going to pick the places he wants to play at. And he doesn't care what the PGA Tour, what the requirements are and all that stuff. No, he's going to make it fun for himself. You know, you might say, why didn't he make that decision like prior to the Ryder Cup and not accept the invitation?
Also, Thomas Bjorn had an incredibly good week as captain of the European team.
Yes, he did.
You look at his captain picks. He picked four veterans, Casey, Stenson, Garcia, and Poulter. And then the home team gets to set up the golf course. So Americans play bomb and gouge golf. There aren't too many PGA Tour events where there's rough. Guys just hit the ball as far as they can. If it gets in the little bit of rough there is, they go down, they get a wedge, and they gouge it onto the green. Well, he set the golf course up with graduated rough. The more you miss the fairway by, the worse the rough got. And a lot of those big American bombers were playing in that knee-high fescue. And meanwhile, Europe in Ian Poulter, Justin Rose, Rory McIlroy had some of the best drivers of the golf ball in the game. So he really set the golf course up to punish the wild hitters on the American team. And look, Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods hit the ball off the planet a lot. And, Bjorn set the golf course up to punish those guys.
Yeah, to keep them under control. And when you call the rough almost unplayable, they didn't have a hard time winning in that almost unplayable rough. So we just needed to play straighter. That's all there was to it. We needed to play better. So what does the Ryder Cup committee do from here?
You know, I don't know. I think the first thing the committee should do is dissolve itself. You know, I'm not sure anything's ever settled by a committee. You know,
thank you.
I would think of some other things, like get away from this idea that you have to have a different captain all the time. You know, Europe's recycled captains. That's a good idea. Look, here's what one of the positives for the Americans going forward. Europeans are more experienced in match play. Match play requires a different way of thinking than stroke play. You got to be strategically aggressive. I think the fact that the NCAA team finals has gone to match play the last few years is going to help Americans down the road, give them more experience in match play. How many putts did Dustin Johnson leave short? You know, in match play, particularly a four ball, when you got a partner, you should never leave a putt short. You know, and most of the time, the 4 foot putt coming back doesn't matter because you're either going to have the hole or lose it. So you just got to play really aggressive. The Europeans get that, the Americans don't.
Finally, you know, when we're talking about, I want to go back to the UL International Crown. The people that you're talking with on the LPGA, are you hearing that there are large groups of people? You know, we expected mobs of Korean fans going to see the women play golf.
Yeah, on day one, you know, and the Korean team was the last team out, and the fans showed up late, but there were good-sized crowds there. By day two, the weather started to rain. The weather started to get bad. So the weather literally has put a damper on the crowd size turnouts. And I don't know, you know, what it's going to be like for the finals on Sunday. But I have to think with Korea in the mix and with a chance to win, that if the weather's at all decent, you're going to see very large crowds out there.
That'd be nice. And you can see that on Golf Channel. Just check out. It's a great competition. It's fun to watch. And when the weather was nice, you know, it was great. Okay, the World Golf Hall of Fame released its 15 finalists considered for induction in 2019. I'm going to go through the list, and you're going to tell me, if you don't mind, Ron. Male competitor, Retief Goosen, Graham Marsh, Corey Pavin, Hal Sutton.
I'm honestly, I'm not sure I vote for any of them.
Okay. Yes, exactly.
And I grade hard. Let me put it that way.
Good. Female competitor, Susie Maxwell-Burning, Beverly Hansen, Sandra Palmer, Dottie Pepper, Jan Stevenson.
Sandra Palmer, 19 wins, 2 major championships. You know, I think that she deserves to be in. Jan Stevenson deserves to be in for not only what she did on the golf course, but what she has done off the golf course in terms of helping to publicize the game. But definitely there, Sandra would be my number one pick.
And finally, lifetime achievement, Peggy Kirk-Bell, Billy Payne, Dennis Walters.
Peggy Kirk-Bell. I think it's a tragedy that she's not already in. She was a pioneer as a player, as a teacher, and as a businesswoman. You know, started the Mid Pines and Pine Needle Resorts down there. You know, Billy Payne might be the most influential person in single individual in golf over the last 10, 15 years while he was chairman at Augusta National. You look, he created the Asia-Pacific Amateur, the Latin American Amateur, the Drive, Chip, and Putt Contest. Women members came in. And now they've got the women's amateur tournament. You know, pretty much all of that came on Billy's watch. But again, if I had to pick one there, Peggy Kirk-Bell would be the one. But Billy is somebody who deserves to be in eventually.
You're amazing. You are so game. Ron Cyrak, golf writer and author, special to the LPGA. He's a Golf Channel contributor and author of the Vision 54 trilogy, of course, with Pia and Lynn. Vision 54. Thank you for being on the show.
Anytime, Danielle. Always a pleasure.
Aloha. The Golf Club
Aloha.
Is made possible by these great people at Futurestone, Creative Plumbing and Rainer Doors. First off, we're going to go to Rainer Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business. Rainer Doors for your home. Yes, increase the value of your home. A major return on your investment. Call Rainer Doors. Creative Plumbing, whether you're building from the ground up, and you know they'll take care of all the stuff that you need taking care of because they've done it. Whether you're a shopping center, a custom home, it doesn't matter what kind of a building you're putting together. It doesn't matter if it's a new build, a renovation, or a repair. Call Creative Plumbing because it's got to be done right. Creative Plumbing does it right. Futurestone. Futurestone's master craftsmen can turn your building, your warehouse, your showroom, your home project into artwork. You have a vision? Call Futurestone. natural stones. They specialize in the Brazilian quartzite flagstone. Aquapave on-site stormwater source control systems. Does that sound like something you might need for your home? Interlocking concrete pavers, Roman stack walls. So much to choose from. It's Futurastone. If you'd ever like to listen to a show that you just caught the tail end of or you want to get more information about, just go to radiogolfclub.com. That's our website. That's where you can find out about our exclusive listeners tour to Ireland, radiogolfclub.com. Next to that exclusive listeners tour to Ireland banner, there is the podcast where you can listen to all the archive shows. So I want to thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2018.